From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message called The God of the Secret Place and the Secret Place of God, the third in this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Change of Name. The text is found in Hosea chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. That day has come. We view our God no more as Baal, our tyrant lord and mighty master, for we are not under law, but under grace. We now think of Jehovah, our God, as our Ishi, our beloved husband, our Lord in love, our next of kin in bonds of sacred relationship. We do not reverence him less, but we love him more. We do not serve him less obediently, but we serve him for a higher and more endearing reason. We no longer tremble under his lash, but rejoice in his love. The slave is changed into a child, and the task into a pleasure. Is it so with thee, my dear friend? Has grace cast out slavish fear and implanted filial love? How happy are we in such an experience! Now we call the Lord's day a delight, and worship is never weariness. Prayer is now a privilege, and praise is a holiday. To obey is heaven. To give to the cause of God is a banquet. Thus have all things become new. Our mouth is filled with singing, and our heart with music. Blessed be our heavenly Ishi, forever and forever.
from guilt and free from sin.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." In dealing with this most intimate aspect of the Christian life, Christ gave some very specific instructions. One of these was an admonition against mere outward show in spiritual exercises. Those who would flaunt their supposed spirituality, but whose lives display no obedience to God's word, are termed hypocrites by the Savior. But one of the great privileges of entering into prayer is to be able to look to the God of heaven and earth and pray, "Our Father." Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message called The Secret Place of God and the God of the Secret Place.
We turn this morning once again to the words of the Lord's Prayer. And we're, of course, in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read the Lord's Prayer together once again. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word for His name's sake. This morning, after all the introductory studies in the Lord's Prayer, we come to the first two words of the prayer. Two words, two small words, two simple words. Two words that appear to have no mystery about them whatsoever. And yet I will suggest to you that the whole prayer depends on these two words. Not only this whole prayer, but every prayer depends on these two words. And I would further suggest to you that a Christian's assurance, a Christian's happiness, will all depend on just how well he grasps the full import of these first two simple words of the Lord's Prayer, the first part of the address to God in prayer. Jesus says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father." Now let's stop it there. Our Father. For it is my belief that if we are ever to enjoy the reality of fellowship in prayer, if we are ever to experience the real power of prayer, if we are ever to go beyond the stage of mere empty rhetoric in prayer, the mechanistic, dutiful way we go through the ritual of saying words that mean little or nothing to God or man or devil, if we are ever to proceed beyond that to real prayer, it is my belief that it will depend on us getting clear in our minds who it is whom we approach and the basis upon which we make that approach to Him. Now, in the words with which the Lord's Prayer starts, these words of our opening address to God, perhaps more than in any other words in our praying, we should take heed, pay attention to the warning of the Savior a little earlier in this passage of Scripture when He says, "Use not vain repetition." You remember I pointed out the meaning of vain repetition. It's babbling. It's just speaking off the top of your head without any thought. He's saying don't use empty, meaningless expressions. Don't speak to God without thought. And don't speak about God without thought. And when you're making your approach to God, particularly, do not lie to God. Do not use vain words. So right on the very threshold of our praying, we should pause. I would suggest to you that you should do this every time you come for a stated time of prayer. Just pause. And get your heart and your mind concentrated on the one that you're addressing in prayer. Thomas Manton, the great Puritan divine, said we should begin prayer with awful thoughts of God. By awful thoughts of God, Thomas Manton meant we should come to God with thoughts that are filled with awe as they ponder the glorious being whose throne we approach. Now, this is very clear from these first words of the Lord's Prayer. Keep in mind, please, that this is how the Savior Himself commands and directs us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. That's the address the Lord Jesus says we should employ. Even word for word when we pray. And certainly it sets the tone for every other address that we use to God. There are many ways in which people come to God, and I am very loath to be critical of the way people address the Lord. I think that there is a place in prayer, and here I am at odds with some great preachers, for they don't believe this. But I think that there is a place in prayer for the use of the word dear, dear Lord. For the simple reason that it's a modern way of speech and that it is a way that people understand. But I also believe that it is something that is vastly overworked. So that when people come to God, they say, Dear Lord, as if they were writing a letter, Dear Jack, Dear Mary, and it really means absolutely nothing. It is simply a verbal way of getting started. There is no stopping to get a consciousness of the one to whom the prayer is being offered. The Lord Jesus says, When ye pray, say, in Luke chapter 11, After this manner, pray, in Matthew chapter 6, Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, that emphasizes the mercy of God. Which art in heaven, that emphasizes the majesty of God. Now, when you think upon God's mercy, that begets confidence in your prayer. You pray with confidence. But when you think upon His majesty, that begets reverence in your prayer. And those are two elements that must always be found in our approach to God. We must come with confidence. New Testament is full of texts which deal with us coming confidently to the Lord, speaking freely to the Lord, coming boldly to the throne of grace. But that confidence must never degenerate into brashness. It must always be accompanied with a deep and godly reverence. We're going to start, therefore, the address to God with these first two words, Our Father. And I want us to think, and it'll probably take me three weeks, to get through what these two words really are saying to us. What it means to Christians to call God our Father. What it means to us. As I pondered this, for my own good as well as for yours, I wanted to have this as simple and straightforward because the language obviously is not meant to become the basis of some abstruse theological discussion. It's meant to be very intimate and very personal, very direct and very immediate. So as I sat and pondered this, the very first thought that struck me, and I could not get away from it, it colored every other thought that I had on this first part of the Lord's Prayer was this. We never stand alone before God. Our Father. Not just Father. Not just my Father. But Jesus says, when you pray, remember, you pray and say, Our Father. Why is that? Obviously, first and foremost, it's because we never, as Christians, stand alone before God. We always first appear before God in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting when you look at the New Testament that Christ's characteristic way of referring to God was to call Him Father. Constantly He spoke of God as His Father. You remember He claimed that I and my Father are one. He said He came forth from the Father. He said He came to do the will and the work of His Father. Then He said when He had finished that work that He was going back to His Father. Indeed, He called heaven my Father's house. And this strong emphasis upon God as His Father is particularly clear in the praying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear Him when He prays publicly, so that not only His disciples but others could hear. And He refers to Him and says, Father, I thank Thee, Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. See Him in His great high priestly prayer, the longest prayer of Christ recorded in Scripture. In John chapter 17, verse 1, He says, Father, the hour has come, glorify Thy Son. Verse 5, Now, Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self. Verse 11, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name these that Thou hast given me. Verse 21, He goes on and says, Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee. Again and again, as Christ is in this deep prayer for His church in all ages, He is constantly using this word, Father, Father, Holy Father, Righteous Father. Follow Him into Gethsemane. There alone with blood oozing through the pores of His skin. In the deep, I could even go and say the deepest anguish He had ever experienced. Forsaken, as far as help was concerned, by His three most intimate disciples, for they had fallen asleep on the job. Facing all the fury of the powers of hell, Mark tells us, He cried, Abba, Father. Matthew tells us that He cried, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, Thy will be done. Follow Him on to Calvary. As we are pointing out in our communion services these months, there were seven great statements or sayings of Christ from the cross. And they started with a prayer, Father, forgive them. And they finished with another prayer, Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. So this is the characteristic way Christ had of referring to God, and particularly in the place of prayer. This is the word He used constantly as He came to God. Now when we pray, Our Father, what we are doing is taking our stand alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. He put it this way in John 20 and 17, speaking to Mary Magdalene, He commanded her, Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. When we pray, Our Father, we are taking our stand alongside of Christ. We're recognizing what Paul touched on in Ephesians 3, 14 and 15, when he spoke of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're taking our place in that family with the Father's name upon us, right beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.